This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 39 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. On the show today, I chat with Ted Hulsey, Global Head of Channel Marketing at Dropbox. If you've been in the MSP industry for any length of time, you probably know Ted, or know of Ted at least. He's been a fixture in our space for quite some time. He was previously at SonicWall, eFolder, and Itopia before joining Dropbox in 2018. And as he mentions in this interview, he's been an active participant in the HTG peer groups, now called the IT Nation Evolve peer groups, for a while as well. We talk about making that first sales hire in your business and why the real question is not who you're going to hire or even how are you going to structure their comp plan, although we do talk about those things too, but the real question is, have you set them up for success? And we talk about what that looks like and how you can do it. But first, our One Thing segment, where we hear from an MSP about one thing that's made a difference in their business. Today, we have Beth Burnside from CMIT Solutions of Erie.
I think, you know, an overall secret to success is really just focusing on the managed service business model itself. When I started the company back in 2007, we were strictly a managed service provider. So in our market, that was a kind of a cutting edge thing at the time, but it was the only business model I really believed was right. So that has really allowed us, a strict focus on managed services alone has allowed us to attract the kind of clients we want that make it easier to build a very effective, efficient business as you grow, because there's so much predictability to the model. And we find that every time we add a client, you know, it might be a little bit of craziness in the beginning while they're onboarded. But once they're onboarded and, you know, we stabilize everything, we just continue to be able to add clients without adding staff.
That tip from Beth Burnside was from episode 4 of the Frankly MSP podcast, where Beth filled us in on how she managed to double her company's revenue each year for the last 5 years. A focus on managed services was obviously one piece of that puzzle. And in the full episode, Beth also digs into tracking and managing metrics, utilization, and timesheets. So if those are things that you've been struggling with or trying to optimize, have a listen to episode 4. What's your one thing? Was there a book you read or a process you implemented that really changed things for you? Maybe a speaker you saw or a tactic you tried had an impact. Let us know. Tell us in a voice memo and email the recording to franklymsp@ovic.com. Or if you prefer, just shoot me a note at the same email address, franklymsp@ovic.com, and we can set up a time to record over the phone.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovic Networks.
Now we come to my interview with Ted Hulsey, Global Head of Channel Marketing at Dropbox, about why sales is a process and not a person. Hi, Ted. Welcome back to Frankly MSP.
It's great to be here, Jennifer.
Yeah, so we had you on the show before. It was about a year ago, I think. Actually, by the time this episode airs, it will be about a year ago that we had you on. And last time you were talking about how MSPs can use their vendors to get, quote, more than their fair share of marketing resources from vendors. That was a very interesting interview. A lot of good nuggets in there for MSPs. Today, we're going to be talking about sales and an interesting story that you have about talking to an MSP. I know you get asked this a lot about sales and, you know, how do I go about building my sales organization? What are the first steps I need to take? So why don't you tell us that story about the MSP that you met?
Yeah, I've been involved with the IT Nation Evolve peer groups for almost 10 years across several different companies. And most people know of that peer group as HTG. But almost every quarter when we get together with partners in those meetings, the topic of sales comes up. How do I hire the right salesperson? How do I build a sales team? How do I compensate them? And I think one of the big insights I gained once was we were in one of those typical peer group gatherings, and I asked one of the MSP business owners in the room how he successfully hired his first salesperson. And the really amazing thing was he proceeded to walk us through all the different things he did to get ready to hire that first salesperson, but he said nothing about the attributes of that person. And I think MSP business owners often struggle because they think their job as a business owner is to go hire a sales superstar, to hire somebody who's just going to, like a silver bullet, solve all of their sales problems. And that's really a big mistake. It's not really about that person. It's more about getting your business prepared to hire your first quota-carrying salesperson. To me, that story just kind of hit me between the eyes. I took copious notes as the gentleman was talking and learned all about what he and his business partner had done to prepare their business. And to me, the big conclusion I came away with is sales for an MSP is less about a person and it's more about the process.
Can you tell us more about some of the things that he did to set up his business before he made his first sales hire?
One of the very first things that all of your listeners need to recognize, especially the business owners online, is, you know, you probably are doing all of the sales, you as the business owner, and you have been for a long time. And what ends up happening is there's all this accumulated wisdom that's up in your head. You know how to talk to the prospects, you know how to talk to existing clients, you know all the levers you can pull to get a deal done. You are totally authorized as the business owner to put any kind of proposal in front of your client or the prospect that you want because you are the business owner. And so one huge problem that most MSPs face from the get-go is that their MSP offering is not sufficiently documented. And so when you go to try to hire your first salesperson, they step into an almost impossible situation. The collateral isn't ready. The quoting tool isn't sufficiently set up to quote the solution and to put proposals in front of clients. And you probably haven't even done a good job training that new salesperson on what your core MSP offering is, what are the a la carte add-ons. So the gentleman who told this story, the very first thing they invested in is they completely documented their core MSP offering, their core product or service offering, with all the pricing and packaging, all the customizable options. They made sure that everything was clearly documented in their quoting tool. And they had a firm idea about, okay, this is the full meal deal solution I want to sell to every single one of my clients. And then here are the 7 to 10 different ways we can customize this offering to drive more monthly recurring revenue or to solve unique problems for the client. That was foundational. That was the very first thing you need to do. And it's all about preparing the ground. And believe it or not, this is a super hard thing for a lot of business owners to do, is you got to get all that knowledge out of your head and on paper and then into your systems, into your quoting tools like QuoteWorks or ConnectWise Sell and that sort of thing.
And I would imagine this would be very tempting for a business owner to kind of rush through this or skip this process because they're thinking, oh, I need more sales now. I've got to get this person started now. But they do need to take that time to step back and get that documentation in place, right, before they go out and start looking.
Yeah. And I think even beyond that, it's kind of less like the procrastination problem or the putting something off to tomorrow. It's more that there often is, in most MSPs, a big confusion around exactly what you want to be selling to the client. If you look back at your installed base of your clients, you'll see that almost everything was a bespoke offering. Naturally, over time, clarity emerged and you end up selling. There is a 90% solution for your clients, but there's not an intentionality. And I think that the key test is, do you have marketing collateral? Do you have selling tools? Does your website, do they all sing from the same song sheet? And are they telling that same story about what your core offering is? Because that is the level of consistency a new salesperson needs when they step into the role for them to go actually out and effectively win new clients. So it's beyond just preparing for that sales hire. It's really, you've got to really think through what your core MSP offering is and thoroughly document it and have the minimum set of selling tools and marketing assets to do it, which is like, let's not overthink it. Let's not make this more complicated than it needs to be. It's like one physical brochure, messaging that's in line on your website, copy points and content in a Microsoft Word document that can be dropped into a customized proposal, and then the core attributes set up in like a spreadsheet for customized quoting and or the same sort of material set up in your quoting tool so you can do a quote to any prospect that comes along and then also customize and adapt it if they have unique requirements.
So I know one thing I've heard that also trips up companies, not just MSPs, but any small company that's going to hire a salesperson for the first time, is they just kind of drop the person in and say, okay, go find clients, and don't distinguish between sales and marketing and business development. So expecting the salesperson to go out and find leads and warm up leads and then close the sale versus having that marketing and business development done ahead of time. Did the person you spoke to say anything about that?
Again, it comes back to process. First of all, you need to have a documented process. And sales is one of those functions where, because of the personality styles of different people and the complexity of the sale, you really need a division of labor. Make no mistake, selling managed services is a complex sale. Of course, you as the business owner and everybody working to make everybody more successful here, we're trying to make this a simpler process and a simpler sale. But part of that is breaking down the process into its constituent parts and simplifying it. But there is a division of labor. There's really, from a personality style perspective, there's differences between hunters and farmers. Hunters, people who like to close business and kind of move on. There is a personality style like that in the sales world. And then account management folks, people who look after existing clients, who are looking after long-term relationships, they're a different style on their own as well. They're more relationship-driven. They're usually more nurturing people. There are different personality styles, and there's really should be a division of labor. But one thing that I feel pretty passionate about after working with MSPs for over 10 years on this topic is I really believe, you know, your first quota-carrying person on your team should be a farmer or an account manager. And the reason for that is, if you look at your clientele, it's like an iceberg. The business opportunity is not what you see poking above the water. It's the massive opportunity down below. And in every MSP clientele, there's a massive base of project-based business and infrastructure modernization projects and kind of technical evolution things that can occur. But you really need to be very good at driving innovation and evolution of your clientele, which then results in all that project and product revenue. And it's an incredibly time-intensive process to manage your installed base. And that's why you should hire an account manager first. The typical MSP business owner that has, say, between 7 to 15 employees, this person is, in many cases, doing an impossible job. They are running the company. They're trying to hire and fire and manage their people. They're trying to find new business, sell new business. They're also probably, in many cases, wearing the VCIO hat and being called into existing clients to do account management type things. It's really not a tenable situation. So if you're trying to figure out, well, how do I offload? How do I drive revenue? I say, look at your installed base, hire your first salesperson who's quota carrying as an account manager, and have them be the one who's driving your technology business reviews or QBRs, whatever you happen to call them, but those periodic meetings with your installed base clients to check in, establish value, establish progress, and find additional projects. That is really an account management function, and it takes a ton of time. If you say have 35 clients and you're trying to meet with them, you know, at least once a quarter, at least, or every half year, that's a ton of work just to get those meetings on calendar. And I think if you really ask most MSP business owners, you know, to be honest about the cadence that they're meeting with their clientele, it's not where it needs to be. And one of the key ways to solve that problem is to have an account manager whose job it is to coordinate all those activities. It's not about going on winning new accounts. It's about managing your existing clients. This is a huge thing I'm really passionate about. An account manager is not a VCIO. And a VCIO is not an account manager. VCIO, if they're truly like a CIO caliber person who is going to be doing technical advisory for your clients, they don't want to do a bunch of account management work. And they're not cut out for it. Again, divide the labor. When you think about the sales process, if you really want to master bringing on your very first person and giving them a quota, it should be, it's the safest path forward. And this is what this MSP business owner did in this HTG group, is they first hired an account manager to take off all that workload from the business owners and to do a really rigorous process with the installed base.
You mentioned off the top that structuring sales compensation is a question that you get a lot. And so looking at this account management versus sales, hunter versus farmer, are there differences in a compensation structure for those two types? And if so, what should that look like?
There actually aren't massive differences between the comp plan that you would put an account manager on versus a hunter or an account executive. First, let's get out of the way. One of the biggest mistakes often business owners will make is they look at the sales function and they think, ah, hungry salespeople. These people are survivors. Let's put them on a 100% variable compensation program where they eat what they kill exclusively. don't do that. It's not a winning formula. Any sales pro out there, whether an account management type or an account executive type, farmer or hunter, if they're a professional and they have some experience under their belt or a lot of experience under their belt, they will not work under those terms. Anybody who's willing to sign up for a 100% variable comp structure is usually somebody who's in a desperate career situation and is selling you on them and not probably telling you the truth about how they're going to perform. So the very first principle is make sure you've got a balanced comp structure. I think if you've got a good account management role or you've got an account executive role, you should have a 50-50 comp structure. 50% base, 50% variable. And if we just talk about the account manager first, it's pretty simple. You have historical data on what the retention rate of your clientele is. So you know what the recurring revenue run rate is, your MRR run rate, and you know what the kind of organic productivity of projects and installed base sales have been. And really, the first job of an account manager is retaining clients. So the first thing the account manager is supposed to do is just keep that revenue, that MRR machine running. And so the variable component of their compensation is probably like 70% of it should be thought about as retaining the existing MRR. And then plot out over a 12-month period, how much project and product gross margin dollar do we want to drive from the installed base of the clientele? And you put a plan out there, and that's becomes their quarterly goal. And you basically tie the variable comp to the retention of MRR and the growth of MRR and give them a realistic plan. And then on the hunter side of the equation, after you've already hired an account manager and you've gotten in a rhythm of managing somebody and you actually feel confident about hiring a hunter, same sort of exercise, 50-50, base, variable. And then with the hunter, it's more about winning new MRR and making their variable compensation tied to bringing in new monthly recurring revenue.
So you're recommending that you hire an account manager first, one of these farmers, and then a hunter or an account executive. How do you know when you're ready to hire that hunter?
Great question. I think you'll know you're ready to hire a hunter when you feel like your account manager is working at a good rhythm and increasing levels of productivity every month and quarter. My suggestion is to be patient. It'll probably take you 12 to 18 months before you feel like your account manager has reached levels of high productivity. But that should have already yielded you a lot of revenue growth. I just sat down with an IT Nation Evolve peer group last week, and we were recapping 2018 growth, and maybe out of 5 out of 11 companies had a really good 2018, and like 4 of the 5 that had the really good year, they really drove the bulk of the revenue from their installed base and not from new clients. So they had just really good project flow. So when you look at it, you hire the account manager, you have them on a variable comp plan, they're retaining revenue, and then they're starting to drive a lot of project and installed base work, and they're evolving the client infrastructure as they go. So if you do that for 12 months, then you're ready to go out and hire an account executive and hire a hunter. A lot of the same principles apply. Everything you've put in place, from thoroughly documenting your offerings to having documented processes, having tools like a quoting tool in place, making sure you're using some sort of CRM technique, and then you have a good comp plan. You've prepared the ground, and you've now prepared the ground for the hardest thing that most business owners face, which is how do I hire a new person to win new business and new clientele? If you've prepared the ground and you've checked off all those other boxes, you're going to have a much easier time hiring somebody in who doesn't have to be a superstar. They don't have to be a superman or woman. And they're going to be able to come in and they're going to have a well-documented offering and process to bring in new clients. And you've already got like a year or two under your belt of managing a quota-carrying salesperson in the form of your account manager. It's going to be that much easier hiring that and managing that account executive who's hunting down new clients.
That makes total sense. And one last question. So, you know, I know techs are hard to find for an MSP. And so when it comes to sales, how important is it that they have experience with managed services or with technology? Or is it better to look for someone who's just a great salesperson and teach them the industry?
I would say it's more important to hire for aptitude than domain experience. I think if you really just look at the MSP world, It's a niche world, and there's a ton of complexity. There's a ton of differentiation and uniqueness to the offering that an MSP puts in front of their client. What you've done, I think, by focusing on sales process and focusing on getting all of these things ready in your business beforehand, you know, you've set things up so you don't need to hire somebody who's got 5 or 10 years of MSP experience, because you've adapted your approach to what would be a world-class standard approach for a company to set up a salesperson for success. You've got everything documented. You've got a clear offering. You've got a reasonable comp structure. You've done all those things. And so you really have set it up so you can hire somebody who doesn't need to be a superstar, doesn't need to have 5 or 10 years or any experience in the MSP space. They just need to be a sales professional. And so I think what you're looking for when you're hiring somebody is the work ethic, the coachability, the teachability, their personality style, whether they are, you're hiring them into an account management or an account executive function. The need for MSP experience is going to be super hard to find on the one hand, and it's not really necessary if you've done your job right in terms of preparing the ground for this sales hire.
This has been so helpful. Thanks for joining us today, Ted.
It was great to be here.
That was Ted Hulsey, Global Head of Channel Marketing at Dropbox. I'll put links to all of the things discussed on today's episode in today's show notes at avik.com/franklymsp/039. What's your experience been with building out a sales function for your MSP? Head over to the Frankly MSP community on LinkedIn to share your thoughts and join the conversation. And of course, don't forget to get in touch with me if you want to contribute to the One Thing segment. You can reach me at franklymsp@avik.com. That's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.